Und ich starte einfach los. Hallo und herzlich willkommen bei Prepared, dem deutschen Gear-Podcast. Und heute in der linken Ecke, schön, dass du wieder da bist. Nice to have you here. Kit Walken, once again. Hi.
Hi, thank you so much for having me again.
Yes, and on the other side, on my other side, Sascha!
English, German, whatever. Yeah, I'm very happy to be here. Excited to have Kitlin here and
Yes, we mix it all up since I know that Kit understands everything we say when wir nur in Deutsch über sie lästern. So, but she's even better in Austrian German. So, but we talk Hochdeutsch with a little Saxonian Einschlag auf meiner Seite.
right. German.
Yes, so. Kit, it's great to have you back, and I think we just start like we ended the last episode. We've been a bit in a hurry, but I've prepared something for actually the last session we planned. I like to introduce our guests with some questions, and perhaps I will start and just not think about it, just from your heart or from your soul or from your stomach, whatever. So, and it's mainly, so what is your favorite? Okay, so let's start right away. What is your favorite camouflage?
Oh.
Answer from your stomach. Don't think too long. Just say it.
Well, the British DPM, the desert.
Okay, what is your favorite outdoor brand? Outdoor brand.
Outdoor. I was thinking about auto and I was saying Saab. Okay. outdoor brand.
Yes.
I should mention those one that I'm collaborating with right now.
Yes, but that we come after it to it. But, you know, is there something in particular you like to wear or you like to have special? Or is there a tiny little thing when you think like, when I have this, this is one of my favorites? Perhaps you have something like that. So just one.
I know it's hard. I go with the Gore-Tex jacket from Carinthia.
Okay, perfect. Okay, very good. Do you have a favorite knife?
I have. Actually, I have a custom knife, and this is my favorite among all the ones I have. And it's called
Neft,
an Italian artisan. It's called CAD. CAD, it's an acronym. And it's a really good one. And it's got some small engraves on the back of the blade. From one side, we got centimeters, and from the other side, we got inches. So it can be employed as well as a cutting tool, as well as a measuring device.
Cool. Yeah, okay. Very cool. Okay. And what is your favorite thing to do outside besides trekking?
Drinking coffee.
Oh, perfect answer. Thank you very much. Yeah, and thank you. You know, these are some tiny little questions. You know, sometimes the guests are really overwhelmed, like, oh, what do I say now? And and I always try. You know, you get something out of it if you ask something like this. So we already talked about it. So favorite outdoor brand, you said it's the Gore-Tex jacket. I have to say that would be something warm, you know, like a Carinthia jacket, because if you're warm and cozy outside, this is always good. But you said a Gore-Tex jacket because being water resistant is something you like being outside, right?
It's very versatile because actually is a little bit, let's say, too big for me because it's an S for a man. But I employed, I don't know how many times, and involved in some different layers underneath. So it's actually the top notch of my products because I can also carry all my tracking kit inside the pouches, which is extremely good because otherwise it's a little bit too long for carrying it with a combat belt because otherwise it will cover it. So I can have everything on me. And it's a really good one because it's like a sort of an M65, let's say, model. Okay. So it's a really, really good one.
Yeah, very cool. Okay. Sascha, since I've never asked you this question, so do you have a favorite outdoor brand? I think we never did this game together, right? Now I'm setting you on the pot, as we say in Germany.
Right now it's Hill People Gear.
Oh.
I think it's my favorite outdoor brand.
Ah, Yes,
I
perfect.
Yeah.
We actually got a comment from one of the pictures I put from you on Instagram, and they said like, "Ah, Hill People Gear should be a good. This is a good woman," something like that. Yeah, very cool. Okay, yeah, Hill People. I totally understand.
I used to employ the Recon kit bag, which is a. Not the biggest one. I can't remember actually the name of the biggest one, but it's like a centimeter in between. And yes. I employed it for a long, long time as well, combined, let's say, with the Taro Mara backpack. So it was quite everything, let's say, packed over there.
Yeah, perfect.
And in the back.
Mm-hmm. I'm a bit surprised when you mentioned like DPM Desert. I like it very much also, but I've seen you wearing, of course, Flecktarn, because I think this was one of my first comments I made on picture of you. It's like, oh, Flecktarn. And then I saw that you had some of the Belgian Jigsaw just made for you, a rain cover, right? And exactly. So I thought this is actually a question you can relate with. So camouflages are great, and DPM is one. The woodland camo was one of my favorites also, but desert. I remember I have an old camouflage book, and there's just a guy with desert DPM pants and a shirt. So and it looks so cool, and it's really a great camo. I like it. Yes,
actually, something that I can never employ in our environment. Obviously, no. Yes. But it's like that. I have a thing on a desert, so I have also chocolate chips. Combat jacket, and I'm kind of having a sort of a small collection, let's say. If I have to tell you which is the most effective, it seems to be the cat pet, also for Europe. In fact, I was writing it, I actually wrote an article and published it, which is available on a website for free, along with a guy who runs a very nice Instagram page. They should be cam addicted. We wrote this article together on the effectiveness of cat pet. So I can go with that one for his versatility, let's say, for a European or almost European environment.
Yeah, I see. So, Sasha, is something wrong with the technique? Do you still can see us? Okay, Sasha is gone. Mm-hmm. We try again, but actually, Sascha ist wieder da. Okay, I've been outside this weekend, but the weekend before, and I've been first time outside with complete in multicam, and I was forced to wear it, and I was very, very surprised how well it performed in green environment. So we've been in the woodland area, and also. It is pretty good. I don't like it that much. I don't know why. Well, I was a big fan, but it performs pretty good in different environments. So I'm very, now I'm not a fan, but it still works. So, and Sasha, we already talked about it, right?
Yeah, but so the thing is, that's what you said, you know, I was really surprised when I saw the pictures of you guys. And I think... multicam worked just perfectly in the conditions where you were, right? So that was really impressing. Mm-hmm. I always thought that, you know, I like multicam for some reasons, but I never saw it like...
In this environment, right?
You know, performing like this, I mean, in our environment, you know, like European forests and stuff like that. And I think it worked just pretty well. That's
yes.
You know that I have a love for woodland, but I think multicam worked pretty well.
Yes, indeed. Okay, we talked about knives, already do. But this one thing, the thing you do outside besides trekking and drinking coffee, this is something very sympathetic. So Sasha also is a big connoisseur of good coffee outside. Okay, my sister-in-law, as I already told you, is Italian, and she said cafe is what we call espresso. So when you say drinking cafe, is it for you? Is it espresso? Is it cafe? Is it what is it?
No, actually, I think that it resembles more the German version of coffee, because I'm pretty. Let's say that my lifestyle or food style is totally German.
Okay.
So I got used to drink your coffee and to have a bratwurst and a schnitzel. Well, we don't say that it's from Austria because it's not actually, it's from Italy, but we don't want to create some sort of complaints. But actually, I go with, let's say, a pretty long coffee. And I'm also getting in Switzerland with a cafe creme, how they call it. So no espresso, it's a little bit too much for me. Because if I drink an espresso, I can have two. And if I stick with the German coffee, I can drink 16 in one day.
Yeah. Okay, I understand. So do you have a trick? Are you a connoisseur of coffee? Or is it as long as if it's black and hot, it's okay for you? Or do you have a little set outside where you say, okay, I take my time, I prepare my coffee? So black and hot. So
actually, since I travel in different countries, I got used to drink different coffees from Spain to Germany to Luxembourg and so on. So I say that I reach a point in which if I have some caffeine in it, that is
good. Okay. I understand. I understand. It's such a moral booster, and it's actually something I think in the outdoor, well, let's say not in the outdoor industry, but in the outdoor bubble, having a good coffee outside is something so relaxing. And Sascha just introduced me to this guy, to this Japanese guy. What's his name again? I forget it.
Morinone.
That's a YouTube channel of a Japanese guy, and he's making this beautiful landscape movies, and he's just brewing coffee, but he does it with, as Japanese do, to perfection, and it looks so good. You know, he puts the filter in, he puts some water in, he puts the coffee in, and it just looks like, okay, I want to be there and want to do exactly this. You know, on a 1,000 euro peak, on a 1,000 euro Titan table with a 500 euro cafe thing. So this is something really enjoyable.
We're talking again about the Snow Peak table.
Yeah, I don't say nothing. You know. The Snow Peak table, the infamous one. Yes. It's something, you've got to have it. And it actually, there's a story. Back when I was in military, an infantry school, German infantry school, one of my sergeant, we packed a box, a wooden ammunition box, and inside we had a Bialetti and a stove. So every day after dinner, we prepared a little espresso for everyone, and it was so famous that even the guy, so our company sergeant who drives around bringing the food, he always brought us the food last because he knew, okay, there I get some good coffee. So it was really fun just sitting there enjoying. We had and he prepared it so good. You know, there were so tiny little cups. And I said, Bialetti with the box. And everything was carved into this box. And was just fun just putting it out and having espresso in the field, you know. Very refreshing. Yeah, and we ended our last part when you've been here with, and I asked you what equipment you bring outside when you do trekking. And since we've talked a little bit and we talked before, and you have also a lot of collaborations, you can also mention your collaborations. So how important is equipment for you or for your lifestyle and for what you're doing right now?
I would say 100% important, because actually I have two main tracking kits. One, it's a, let's say, more bushcraft style, more vintage style. That's been made by an Italian artisan, totally made of leather, certified Toscano leather. So it's a top quality work. Nice. And it consists of a belt and a pouch that's big like this. So I got just the essential inside, a measuring device, the torch, some markers that I can use during training to mark the tracks and so on. Instead, I have on the opposite side the, let's say, tactical tracking kit, which consists of...
Let us stop right here, because the artists, you say, I think it's Prometheus, or they call themselves Prometheus.
Exactly.
When I follow you, I just, of course, went to their Etsy site, and it's very, very nice things they make, and is, as you said, more on a traditional way, but also very smart interpreted, or it, yeah. You know what I mean. It's really worth looking at. So Sasha, have you seen it or do you know it?
No. I have not seen that. But I'm listening right now. I already checked some of the things, you know. So of course, you know, we are talking about tools. We're talking about, right. So that's, of course, I'm checking. Yes. So that's, for me, it sounds very interesting that you have just two versions, or maybe more of the versions that you have. You know, it's like more like
actually two, Sasha.
So you have that leather, more traditional thing, which is a little bit like you said, it's handcrafted, right? Or like artisan work by people from Italy, right?
Yes.
And as much as I know from my background, I know that Italians just have a huge, huge history of being artisanal in leather work, or also in doing stuff with fabrics. So as soon as we are done, I'm going to check it, right? And I'm going to see what the guys are doing. Eric and me, we are just like, I know that we are both like, okay, what are they doing? Okay, where do I get
this? Yes.
So it's always super interesting.
Yes. No, he's a really good artisan. The full name is Prometheus Bushcraft Equipment.
Yes.
Okay. And this is a nice story also behind our collaboration, because we started cooperating in 2018. And then one year after, we were attending to an exhibition in Bologna, and there was also Dave Canterbury, the famous instructor. So at that moment, Mia was discussing with Prometheus about a potential bracelet that I can wrap inside all over my wrist. Which is actually a measuring device as well, because I got some small, let's say, lines, don't know, grade, corresponding to centimeters, inches. And we involved the Canterbury in giving it a name. So if you also Google, or you check on a YouTube channel of Dave Canterbury about me and them, and about this the Tracker's Tool, which is the name of this bracelet, you will see that also Dave has got one. And I basically employed the, let's call vintage, as I call it, tracking kit for classes with kids, for example, classes with outdoor people, more related to the bushcraft world. Instead of the tactical tracking kit, it's related to classes with search and rescue, tactical approach, or for army personnel, for police officers, and so on. And again, I got a combat belt and a pouch from another Italian brand that it's spread also in Germany, because a Recon company, for example, they are the reseller.
And what is the name again? What is
Frog
the name again?
I was mentioning it. Frog Pro.
Okay.
Frog Point Pro. And I got also a pair of suspenders, so I can actually use it to the combat belt with or without the suspenders.
That makes sense, sure.
Yeah, and the pouch is big like this, not very much, I mean, standard. And I have the torch from LED Lens, which is attached on my right, because I'm right-handed, and with a system of attachment in which I can rotate a little bit the light. So it's already fixed up for some, let's say, twilight tracking as well as night tracking. Nice. And I kind of develop an essential tracking kit, because otherwise I can go without a backpack full of things. But in reality, what I really, really need is just a measuring device, a good torch with at least four colors, perhaps an additional light, LED light, a GPS, the map, a pair of tweezers, which could sound like, oh, are you doing some aesthetical thing on yourself while tracking?
Yeah.
Not at all. I use them to pick up a material that maybe fall down during some windy days, to be more precise. And then a notebook, pen, pencils, those kind of stuff. I don't actually need so much additional gear and a good app. That's why I always go not more with baseball caps, but more for jungle hats. And that's it.
What about back in the days, tracking was just the one's brain and, you know, perhaps a measuring device. So really, really. But how about, I'm not a big sketching guy. I'm not very good at drawing things. So what is your opinion on having a camera with you or a phone just to take a photo of, for example, a footprint or something like that?
No, I'm totally agree. But the condition is that people should know exactly how to take pictures. Because I see too many times, for example, people using their hand as measuring device and even put them on the ground, but a little bit, let's say that we have the truck and then the head, the hand, and then we have the mobile phone. So this makes the measuring unit totally not acceptable because it's not a universal one. So I always recommend my student to take proper pictures with a like 1 euro, for example, as a measuring device. They don't have anything better, but sketching is very important because throughout sketching, we put everything, single thing inside our memory. So it's good for example, keep in mind our own pattern of our own shoes or to learn how to discriminate from different ungulates tracks. Sometimes they can be misleading because Steinbock looks really look like sometimes some goats, and then warriors can be confused with wild boars and so on. I say Steinbock because I don't even remember how it is in English. we got it.
But sketching
is still good. Perhaps in the phase of training, yes. In the phase of real operation, we don't have the time to do something artistic. But knowing how to do that, it's good.
I see that even in your book or sometimes on your internet page that you say like, okay, these are the most common like profiles on shoes, you know, from different brands. And in my opinion, like 15, 20 years back, there were only so and so many footprints, and it's growing and growing and growing. Do you think that it's still useful to have this information?
For having a database, you mean?
Yes, because I think it's so big. It's getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure, I don't know if you know it, the German military boots always had like a very distinctive, like with the round one.
Yeah.
You know, it's round in the middle. And and before there were some with some, you know, like with hooks. And I get this, but I think that now almost every brand has their own tread, and this is very, very hard because it's getting more and more and more. Am I right, or do you still say, if we have this information?
You are right, but on the other hand, and I can tell you that it's based on my personal experience, people, especially people who are involved in the outdoors, but also people who are into, let's say, survival, they tend to follow a trend. For example, that Loewe will always be very, let's say, best sellers. Hikes as well.
Yes.
But if you check for some hikes, shoes, for example, here in Italy, they're not so much common. In Slovenia, I went to different outdoor shops and asking to the desk officers which are the most popular, let's say, shoes that people always purchase to do as outdoors in Slovenia. And they just give me all of them one answer, Salomon.
Ah, okay, I see.
And which models, I say, just three.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
so,
I see.
So it's very restricted sometimes.
Yes.
And I recognize that in some countries, having the possibility to purchase high-quality boots is also depending on the income of the countries. So for example, in Switzerland, it's very uncommon for people to go to Decathlon and to purchase like some casual shoes. They go with Mammut, they go with Salwa, those kind of let's say expensive but also really reliable brands. Same speech for Austria, for example.
Yes.
But in Spain, in Italy, it's very common to have Quechua shoes, and especially the MH100 model, which is their best seller, 39 euros, and perhaps you can go quite everywhere. And also for the tennis shoes, which is even more tricky considering how many models there are on the market, when I see some tracks on the good terrain, on track traps, there's always perhaps quite always the marks from Nike Air Force One, which are
okay.
Because circles on the toe, on the heel. So they are very, very much common because people follow trends. And no matter if there are thousands, millions of different footwear in the market, just people follow trends. They want to purchase those kind of footwear and because they see other people having them and so on. And the outdoor makes no difference. And the survival as well.
Yes.
So
I know.
You are right, but I can also tell you from my own experience that that's why I was creating those database.
Okay. I'm pretty sure, and now it makes perfectly sense to me. And it's now I have another thing I can tell my wife: I need new boots because I don't want to follow a trend. And now I have to check everything out, you know. So counter tracking on a gear level. Okay, Sasha. There are some more things I can tell just to get more gear, you know. Yeah, perfect. This is actually very interesting. So you told about so what you need for trekking, but also when you go outdoors. So just tell us about your collaborations you have and how did it work out. So you already told us you have a collaboration, for example, with Carinthia. Is that right?
Well, actually, I brought up different products of them trying to take the best pictures and video that I can, but I'm horrible. I'm awful. I'm the worst ever in taking pictures and video. So the guys are really, really patient with me. And sometimes, you know, when I'm in Switzerland, the scenario makes some sort of difference. So they are reposting some of my contents. But I appreciate the brand a lot and I support them since a long time. So we are doing some sort of a cross marketing.
Okay.
It's very recent, my collaboration with a special operation department, which is an Italian brand. It has been mentioned also by the channel, I'm sure that you know, Red Bull Tactical. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's a brand that cooperates with a special forces here in Italy, with some of them, and they are pretty much recognized all over Europe because of the reliability of the products that they are launching at the female line. So they are kind of identifying me the potential good, let's say, person, and I really hope so, to represent the brand. And I have also collaboration with DEFCON 5, especially for some backpacks, some pouches, and so on. With the Danish footwear company, To Be Footwear, which provides quite only police tactical boots because they are more focused on into the police market. Then I have other, let's say, cooperation also with Matthias Busch from Germany as well, from the Buschnack and Busch Messe, and he sent it to me a really nice fixed blade that the bite is, and I really, really enjoy that. And some other collaborations just like coming and going, some of them are temporary, and the others instead are more, let's say, long-term. I employ Heal People Gear equipment for a long time, and I underline the quality of their products. And the guys, Scott and Ivan, are really, really two nice people. And last time that I met them, it was in Vegas for the SHOT Show some years ago. They're really nice.
That's very nice people, that's right. Yeah, I just wrote with them 2 weeks ago about something that I needed, and they were just like normal guy, just really answering themselves, not anybody in the service. Just Ian and Scott both answered, and that was pretty cool. You know, that's what I expect from a company like that. It's just pretty close to the customer. That's pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. And my instructor in the United States, Mike Cooler, for the school that I represent, is actually always employed on Heal People Gear staff. Always, always, since a long time. And also, Kenneth Galbraith, I don't know if you are acquainted with him. He is a former Green Beret, now in DEA, and he's the long mustaches guy. Kenneth represented the Heal People Gear brand. And again, it has been one of my instructors, so I got a huge, huge respect for him.
Yeah, very cool. Since we already mentioned last time that you're a lot of time of the year you're on the road. And, you know, for us, you know, gear guys, it's easy to pack for the field, you know, and what to do. And we almost more often pack more than we need to. But I think it's quite hard to get the combination, like being a long time on a bus, on a train, and then switch over to, you know, being outside in camouflage. So how do you do that? Would you tell us just a little bit? So what do you pack if you have a course, let's say, like this week in Hannover? So
I don't have actually a course in Hannover. Yeah, I'm just there for other reasons, but not a course, okay. Actually. No, well, it's a good question because actually I don't switch. That's
yeah, okay. Okay, so you just look like a bum.
No, actually, I was remembering, for example, my longer trip to Luxembourg. It takes took 14 hours to go there, and I had 1 hour from one bus to another because I always travel with Flixbus in Basel. Yeah. And I remember that they took a photograph of me outside a window and say, well, it seems like the Rambo girl. Totally.
Yeah,
I had a big olive green backpack from Webtex, and I was wearing the Gore-Tex jacket. If I have to run a class, and if I have to go on the train or on the bus, I stay stick with the outdoor style. So just boots and tactical pants, tactical jackets, and so on.
Yes.
If I have to take the flight, it's another story, because probably I look very much suspicious, and I'm always the girl that, not really, no joking, I'm always the girl that needs to be, you know, checked on. From police for drugs and whatever. So I stay sticking to black. Yes. Okay.
Yes. Who's this punk girl? Who's this punk girl with the camouflage jacket, right? I guess.
Yeah, but I don't know how many times I've been under the drug test control in Vegas, for example. And so I decided to keep a little bit of low profile, black dry bag from DEFCON 5, which is my favorite bag for traveling, and then stay stick to black. But if I have to go with the train or with the Flixbus, I don't care, because over there everything is allowed, actually, even carrying knives.
Yeah,
so I don't have a problems. And in terms of packing, yes. I develop a system in which I only carry the essentials only.
Mm-hmm.
So I know exactly that I will use that amount of clothing, that jacket. I put everything on the level of versatility. So I can use one thing instead of another, with the pros and the cons of it. For example, just to make you guys laugh, I was in Luxembourg again, and I was having the dinner after class, and the restaurant was too much nice for my clothing, and I went up inside dragging a lot of mud. I got the mud here. And I asked the waiters to give me like some papers to clean, because I was really embarrassed. And they say, no, it's okay. And I say, no, really, it's me dragging mud everywhere.
Yes.
But beside that, I say stick to the essentials. And if I have to spend an hour outside, for example, for a course, I go with a BB tent, which is a solution for me, because it's actually big like this. And I can carry it easily. I mounted it less than two minutes.
Yeah.
I can stay up inside because of me, I'm 170 centimeters tall, but I'm very skinny, 52 kilograms. So I can keep everything inside, also a big backpack. And it's my personal experience, the ideal solution for me. And also the cooking set, everything is, tiny, and easy to pack.
Yes. Okay. That sounds very good. Yeah, but that's something very important that you know, especially when you've done this for a long time, as you've done. Then I'm sure that everyone can, you know, learn from, you know, how to pack light and small, and that you already know, okay, you don't need high heels if you go to a course, even if you, they let you in the restaurant, even with muddy boots. Yes, very interesting. So have you been on a course like last week, like following your Instagram? You've been outside, or was it just like, you know, some from the older courses?
No, actually, last week I was taking part of an event of the, let's say, Italian Association. I'm inside, which has been taken in a very nice location because it was a former ammunition plant.
Okay.
And the week before I got two courses, because sometimes it happened that I have a course on Saturday and a course of on Sunday. Okay. But actually, I have courses quite all the weekends. Or if it's not a course, it's like a messe or a meeting or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, I see. So, but you will not be like this Friday. This Friday there's the Rican company anniversary. You will be there.
Yeah.
Then we will meet there.
Nice.
Yes. Then,
I wasn't daring to ask because I know that you are both very busy, but I'm really, ich freue mich.
Yeah, wir freuen uns auch. So, yeah, this it's actually, it's, as always, it's Sascha's fault. Because, no, it's just, you know, Jockel said, like, wir sehen uns ja in Salzgitter. And I was like, what? Sascha hat gesagt, ihr seid auch da.
Yeah, natürlich.
Yeah, that's how it is. Yeah. So, but I'm really looking forward to it. So for all the guys outside, so, this week on Friday, there's the 35th.
Is it this Friday, Eric, or is it Saturday?
It's Saturday. I think it's on July the 1st. Yes, it's on on Saturday. Yes,
on Saturday.
I'm sure. And the thing is, with Rican Company, I remember, you know, when I was, well, it is like almost 30 years ago. they had this catalogs, and you could order them. And has been like one of the first catalogs with really the good stuff. And, you know, I always looked at it and was like, wow, one day I will able to buy something like this. And so, yeah, I'm looking forward because there are a lot of people there. Like there's Epic Group. There is Jocko from the Last Man Standing gear. There's Andre from DevTech. Yes. So all friend of us. And it's for me, or for us, it's just meeting the people and being with them. And now even better when you will be there.
Cool.
So for you guys out there, this time I'll put this the podcast out, and then we will meet there. Okay, so everyone out there, come to Salzgitter. It's worth visiting. It's Bad Salzgitter, so it's nice being there.
And I already packed my high heels for the.
Oh.
So that means that Eric and me, we have to wear high heels as well.
Probably.
Okay. We're working, but just high heels. That's it.
Yeah,
as always.
The thing is, you know, one day I asked on the Reeperbahn in the shop, "Do you have this size 42?" And they said, "Like, yes, of course." All right. So, okay, in this shop you could get this. So, it's not a problem at all. yeah, very good. Speaking of gear. When you're outside, do you have like what are your favorite boots? Do you have favorite boots you wear when you go outside, or does it depend on what is the weather?
Actually, no. I just use the one pair of boots for let's say winter time and fall, and the other one for springtime. And it was the tactical boots from 2B Footwear, because I stick to the collaboration with them. I really, really like them also because they have like a distinctive pattern that no one else, so I can easily use that to discriminate my tracks for my students, so they can have a stick in their mind, especially from basic tracks classes. Sorry, I need to follow this pattern because it's kids.
Yeah, okay, I see.
So I say that it's since so far 5 years. that I'm using is to be footwear. They're, again, they're very, very much police boots, so are totally black with good zippers on the internal part.
Yes,
nice grip. And for summertime, I'm right now I'm also using the Moab from Merrell.
Okay. Yes, the Moab is always
the Tactical Moab. And it's again, very good also because the Merrell has got a distinctive pattern, which is more like rounded a little bit, and they have an incredible grip because I use them a lot of times on in Switzerland, in Engadin, and they are very reliable. So.
And pant-wise, you're wearing outdoor pants because especially as a woman, there's always we say too that pants are it's very very hard to find good pants for your body type, so it really depends how they are cut. So do you have there any favorites?
Well, right now I'm employing that one from SOD, the female line, which are they are not too bulky, which is instead the characteristics that I always found in other brands. Don't want to talk bad, but actually it's normal to have a little bit of bulky pants. Yeah. And way before the SUD, I used for a lot of time some sort of a leggings, let's say, because for my strange movements on the track line, because I needed to stay bending a lot of times. I say that elastic solution could be the most suitable one. Now that SOD kind of fixed my problems, because I wasn't too much into, let's say, civilian plants mixed with the tactical stuff, but right now I prefer to have like the full, because I really need to have some pouches on the pants. And
I see. You
know, civilian lines, I don't have any of that, but never.
I'm very, very impressed since I think it's like for like at least I would say like 8 years that that female cuts, female or a lot of brands offer female options, and this is something really, really, really interesting. So when I've been the last time at the IWA in Nuremberg, I had my wife with me, and then we saw that a lot of like 5'11 kind of started this, that they had like outdoor leggings, that they had like female cut.
I got two pairs from 5'11, so totally agree.
And so now almost every brand, even the high class brands like even like Lindenhof or Carinthia with the real tactical stuff, they have a women's line, and it's I'm very happy that it's working like this, because I've seen in military that the uniforms, well, I don't know which cut they use, but it's horrible for women in the German army. And it's the same with plate carriers. You have another body type and you need different plates. And as long as there are women in the military, they need to have the same or the best equipment for their body. And this is something very important. So that's why we are talking about it, because this is something very, very interesting. Yeah, okay. We already said like that you need also, we checked all the top layers and you said like good head, but equipment wise, you said like we had it in the last part too, that you had you need a good light with different colors different filters. And once again, just to get it, you use the light also to not only to enlight something, but to create, I guess, a shadow that you can see the tracks better. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, yes. Because when I got the flashlight attached to the torch, I'm just lighting what I have right in front of me, let's say 1 square meter.
Yes.
When I'm focusing on one single good track or a portion of it, I should remove it recreating the golden rule of tracking. So keeping the track between myself and the source of light. So that's why I needed to stay bending on the ground very close with an angle of 30 degrees and rotating 180 degrees all around the track in order to recreate the three-dimensional of the tracks. To enhance some details, to enhance some shadows, in order to catch as many details as possible.
Yes.
Switching from one color to another is good, because maybe what you can see with a green color, for example, in woodland areas, which is, personally speaking, my favorite, can also sometimes be even more enhanced by using the blue.
Okay, I see.
It just depends. So it makes no sense to say stick to one color, but switch from one to another is geared to having, let's say, the confirmation that with one color you can get 90% of details, but with another one, maybe you can get also the 10% which is left.
Yeah, I of course, I know like the filters are relevant for tactical use. But I know that especially when you do like trauma, when you're working with bleedings, that blue also helps to see the red of the blood even better. And and it's something and here it works too. And I'm surprised and very impressed that it works for tracking too.
It works a lot. Actually, in forensic, they go something even more ahead, let's say, because back in the day they used to employ the luminol to get blood stains or body fluid and so on. Then they realized that the luminol, it's good, but sometimes it gives you back a blurry image, so you don't have the perception, for example, some inner details about the footprints. So the switch from weather, sorry, to some blue light. But now nowadays, as far as I get from a conversation that I had with Search Company, which is a forensic company from North Carolina, they are employing the ultraviolet light.
Okay.
Because ultraviolet can stay, usually it's just one single flashlight. You can have the possibility to switch it from the other colors to ultraviolet. But it's really geared to giving you back all the details related to even small particles of blood, body fluids, and so on.
Yeah, okay, very interesting. Yeah, it's and once again, something, you know, for the gear list. So this is always very interesting. Okay, so gear-wise, I'm through. Sasha, do you have any more questions like gear-related so
not
far?
Now. No, not gear-related. Later, I have other questions. But
okay, so we can switch over. So since, you know, thinking about what we've talked on the last parts, and I'm right that you could also track animals and humans. Is that right? So what...
Well, actually, I consider myself totally focused on human tracking. I attend some classes of animal tracking to have, let's say, a basic knowledge. I don't consider myself a professional. And if my students ask me some things, I always answer about things that I'm 100% sure.
Okay.
Otherwise,
because
I would suggest.
Yeah, my question was, would you imagine by your experience, is it easier to follow a human track or an animal created track? Because I was curious if the answer would be, of course, the human track, because you can think more like a human, you know, and this is a big part, like, you know, well, I think what we've talked before is that, you get in the role of the one you are following. So what is his intention? So what is he doing? And you can think better as a human, of course, yes.
Yeah, actually, yes, and unless you have to deal with a person who's got some degenerative disease like dementia, Alzheimer, because in those cases, it's really, let's say, unfamiliar for us. First of all, put ourselves into the mind of the person, and we can also barely, let's say, think about possible actions which makes no sense for us, like undress in the middle of winter. Not related to hypothermia, but related to some, let's say, idea that they may have to be at home or in a very hot place.
Yes.
So I would say that 60% of the time it's more easy to follow individual, a person.
Yeah, okay.
If you are very familiar with the local fauna, for example, of your area, you may develop all the skills necessary to be proficient in animal tracking. For example, if you are focused on following roe deer and you know exactly their habits, their habitat, the behavior of the meat population, their feeding areas, bedding areas, you can get it. But again, it's also consistent with the terrain, how much is easier or it's difficult to track also animals in it.
Yes, yes, yes. So last weekend I've met with a friend of mine, and he's an ornithologist. You know, he likes to track birds, and this is so interesting. It's like what you said, because he hears something, I hear it too, but he says not only this is a bird, but this is this and that. And then he says, okay, now it's the mission to find it. And for him, it's easy because he knows, okay, the sound is this bird. He usually nests in this and this height, or he nests on the ground. So he knows exactly where to look. And it's so much fun walking through the woods with him, because of course you hear all the birds singing and you just enjoy it, but he can say like, oh, this is this, 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 and that, and you can find here, here, and here, and it's so much fun, and it makes, you know, it opens that much, up.
So cool.
And this is actually something, what is the really interesting part in, I guess, tracking, because then you see something and you know, okay, this is this and this brand, even if you're man tracking, whatever, then you see like, oh, okay, this one was a jogger, or this is obviously a bike or something like that. But also this is a mountain bike. So that means, you know, something like that. And this is the magic with this, which makes it that interesting for me. Yeah. Okay, Sasha, you said you have some questions. So I hand over.
The first thing is, you know, I read, I mean, I guess Eric as well, I think we read books about animal tracking and stuff like this. But in the end, I guess learning how to read tracks and everything, just I think it's way better to learn in practice, to learn on real locations instead of books. You know, I mean, I have like a glimpse of knowing what's happening out there with the tracks, but I guess like having a course with you or being outside and seeing tracks and trying to analyze everything is something that just, yeah, I mean, that brings stuff like this way closer to a customer like I am in the end of the day, you know. So I'm interested in what do you I mean, how long is your experience of just tracking? How long, when did you start? I mean, I think it's something like an art, something like craftsmanship as well, to be able to read tracks. So for how many years do you practice that, and do you think that you're still learning?
Always.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, one of my, let's say, what I think and also what I write after every single class is that I'm a student among students.
Sure.
And for not all, only from a level which is connected with humility, which is always good, I think that we don't have to sit on laurel, you know what I mean? We mm-hmm. are always in the process of learning. But it's also because most of the time, I'm doing some tracking classes in a location that I never saw before in my life, never. So it's really me among the other students, because I needed to calibrate myself with the terrain. I needed to calibrate my knowledge to gain intelligence. And it's not always possible coming a day before to check the area, not at all. And sorry, answering to your question, I actually started in 2015, so okay. Not so much time ago. It's just 8 years so far, and I started doing my classes in 2018 for the Woods Tracking School as a representative and instructor. And in those 3 years, let's say between the beginning and starting of my activities as an instructor, I gained intelligence quite only on the Alps.
Oh,
at an altitude between 500 and 1,500, 600, just to give you an idea, mm-hmm. in woodland areas most of the time. But what really makes me, let's say, spread my senses more and more is just like working in different countries. Because, for example, having classes in the Netherlands is quite an experience. They got a lot of sand over there, and me, I'm not used to. Sometimes yeah. I'm struggling for having the possibility to work with some mud. Sometimes I have to put some water on the terrain to having to giving to the students the idea of how tracks of mud look like, not because they are difficult to identify, but sometimes they can be tricky due to the centrifugal force of the mud. So I would say that my process of learning is never ending. And tracking is, as I always say, it's mostly common, mostly based on common sense and on experience that we gain on the field. So even 5 more minutes spent on the ground, even in public areas, in kindergarten, give us the possibility to gain some much more details, to create a sort of an internal database and say, okay, now I recognize that's a Nike Air Force One, for example, track. Or I can say that this track is approximately 2 days old, because aging is one of the most tough phases in tracking, and experience is based also on become a proficient in that, let's say, context of aging tracks.
Sure. You know, the thing is, Caitlin, when my first real, just like, when did I get in contact with tracking? It was maybe I guess Eric from his background from Bundeswehr, maybe earlier, but I just got in contact with that with one movie. It's called, in English, it's called The Hunted, in German, Stunde des Jägers. And of course, there is that scene where this guy just hides in the woods, and Tommy Lee Jones is that guy who's tracking and just doing things, his thing, let's say his thing, with he's wearing barefoot shoes with no real sole, and clinching through the woods and stuff. And that was so, I mean, of course, the connection with the knife and everything like that, that was so that was so exciting for me, you know. And then I was like, I want to know that. You know, it's always when you see a movie and you get really hyped, I want to know that. And then, you know, it's like the time is just flowing by and you're losing interest of that. But seeing your posts and hearing in the last podcast as well and reading the books, it's a field that is so interesting, and it is that makes you standing out of a crowd when you know stuff like that. It's like knowing a secret language. You know what I mean? It's so cool.
And it's magic. Mm-hmm.
It is. It's pure magic. And that is so fantastic. And that is so exciting about being able to read tracks. And I hope and I wish Eric and me, we will one time join you and one of your courses and get to know a little bit of your magic to, yeah, being able to read that, you know? So, of course, you saw that movie, right? And
sure.
and when you saw it, was he doing it right? Was he doing?
I was already into tracking. Honestly, I didn't see the movie before my tracking period. I was actually in the phase of watching any possible movie which could potentially contain some scenes about tracking.
Sure.
And I was amazed because it's a really good movie, very well conceived. Obviously, there's a Tom Brown behind, not only behind the knife, but also the concealing for the scenes. But a nice one also, I can't remember the movie maker, the film maker, but it's called Borderline with Charles Bronson. Okay. He goes back to 1980, and it's a really good one. I'm sure about the title. I'm sorry that I can't remember the name of the filmmaker, but there's Charles Bronson in it. And actually, there are some good scenes also spread in other movies, like, for example, the very famous Shining from Stanley Kubrick. The last scene into the labyrinth, it's a scene of tracking and counter-tracking, because Jack Nicholson is following the tracks of his child, okay? And the child, then he is covering his own tracks, brushing out the tracks, stepping on his own tracks back. So we got literally some good amount of tracking in, 5 minutes probably at the end of the movie. Okay. And there are there are a lot of scene on tracking sometimes in movies, especially in Western movies. I regret that you are a little bit of a passionate passionate about Western, because I can see, Sasha, from your I think your living room, the paintings that you have. Yeah, it looks to me a little bit like a Western style.
These are just originals from rodeos in the States that we brought with us when we were there. Yeah.
Okay, but some Western movies has got a really accurate scenes, and there's in one with Cate Blanchett, not really. It should be called The Promise. Not sure about the English title, which could be, but again, there are some scene on tracking. But if people who are listening to us are interested in kind of downloaded a list of movies which contain some tracking scenes, if they Google my name and with tracking movies or moving with men tracking, I wrote an article a couple of years ago with all the scenes. And every single time that I see some scenes or some documentary talking about tracking, I got chills, because for the passion that I have for this art, even if sometimes it's really demanding and exhausting, and sometimes you also have you feel yourself not a very high performance and say,
I think
I'm
also
really bad today.
I think it can be very disappointing. And as you said before, I'm a very impatient guy, and I see like, pa, I got something, it must be there, and then I'm off I go. And and I'm sure it's very, very hard, you know, if you to not be disappointed and then just keep on.
But by the way, the three of us, we got a course on a Saturday evening after the celebration, after the party with Recon. Mm-hmm. We are reaching some woodland areas in the nearby Sudan Nofer, and we can do some night tracking maybe over there to just again have some experience. But let me tell you that my courses, as I always tell my students, are an alternation of theory and practice, because it's very important that they got immediately into the matter. And there's nothing better than doing exercises solo or pair with small teams and so on.
Mm-hmm. If someone of our audience is interested in planning a course with you, and perhaps our plan is, or we would think about it, Sasha, that perhaps we make a prepared slash Caitlin walk-in way of tracking, like a meeting, and we make a course with you for all those out there interested. But you also, so what are the requirements you need to be there? Because I think one is you need an area where you can train. So this is something very important. But it could also be an open park. It could be, I guess, like a wood. It could also be like a beach area if you're living on the coast, right?
Absolutely, I'm open to all the possibilities if we have a pretty good area in terms of let's say space, and we are not disturbing anyone else doing other kind of activities. It's good for me. We don't ruin the environment. We are doing nothing strange. So we don't actually need any kind of authorization to do the courses, because it's just us observing the ground and following tracks.
Yes.
I'm open to woodland areas, to Berge, to go to the seaside. And
okay, but one question. What about urban trekking?
Absolutely.
Yes, you do. Because I think this is very, very hard, and you have to look for different things, perhaps. But it could be also very easy, because you just knock, hey, have you seen this and that? You can ask, because people are there. I think this is something too, but I think in urban area it's very good. One question, since we talked about movies, what do you think about the UF? Have you seen the UF Pro?
Sure.
You know, the short films.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. How did you like them?
Well, a lot, actually. I'm more a fan of Joel Lambert, because I'm also in contact with him since several years so far. we cannot talk publicly about that, but we have in mind to do something together in the next future. And I'm more a fan of the Manhunter program. So obviously the UFO short videos are completely different, let's say, cut and layout. I have a huge respect for Boris Voss, also because I know that he trained himself at the Jungle Warfare School in Borneo. So he's got my deep respect because I know all the story. They are extremely good. They are short in my adoption country, which is Slovenia. And I know perfectly the area. I know how it is. The terrain can be very good for trucks because it's 99% of the time it's pretty humid. But those, let's say, short videos document very good how he is conducting a tactical tracking and tactical tracking operations in informations. And they are nothing bad to say. Also, the, I don't know how we call it, computer graphics to enlarge trucks, really well made. Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah,
they
very
should shot like a female version, maybe.
Yeah, we should. Yeah, Sasha, you had further questions? Because
There was a thing. And I was, I'm sorry for asking you, but are you Italian? Or...
I was born in Italy. I got a remote Slovenian origins and also remote German.
Okay, okay. So the thing is, I was just, I think 2 or 3 months ago, I wasn't quite aware about the Italian outdoor scene, you know? And I just found out that it's a huge scene, and I wasn't aware of that. So, and then I found out that Dave Canterbury, he's just, when he's coming to Europe, he's coming to Italy, and he's giving a lot of courses in Italy. So, how is that? You know, I love Italy from its countryside, and of course from its
food.
From its cooking, of course.
Cuisine, yes. As well.
So the Italian cuisine is like, I think everybody knows. And I think Eric and me, we both like to cook. And I think we both like to cook Italian food as well. It's something that I really enjoy. But the thing is, I wasn't quite aware about the Italian outdoor scene. And it's huge.
Yeah, it is.
And it's, when you check, it's... you can say it's older than the German one, but I can see a lot of Italian outdoor books, which are way, way older than the most German books that I found. So it's a very huge scene out there. So do you fit in this, or do you see yourself as like a more like a European thing? You know what I mean? Do you know?
Well, actually, I cooperated with a lot of Italian schools, so I quite know all of the guys. There are more than 100 survival schools, 100, which is a huge number spread all over Italy, so not only north, also in the center and in the south. Since the very beginning, I decided to write in English because I have this idea to lead classes abroad. And in fact, just after 1 year, I led my first class abroad that was near Frankfurt. So that's why I can say that I feel myself more European, not because I have something, let's say, bad against Italian school, not at all. I really love to cooperate with them. It's just that me, I don't feel so much Italian. So I'm quite, trembling between the different cultures and nationality, and I feel more closer to other countries, and that's it. We got a lot of survival classes, a lot of events, and very important event is related to Lavu, Polish dance, and is led, has been created and led by Prometheus Bushcraft Equipment, who's also the official dealer for Italy, for Lavu tent. And we had Dave Canterbury, who came here in 2019. We got Joe Price. I don't know if you are acquainted with him. He's a good friend of mine from Ireland. And we got some sort of a scene actually. Mm-hmm. Then every single region has got its own characteristic. And for example, also South Tiroler, as Gaba is like a word like himself, because when I lead the classes over there with Philipp Schraut, who is my collaborator, we had students with different nationalities, so we needed to run the class in German, in English, and in Italian as well.
Oh, yeah.
It just depends. It's a little bit... It's wider and it's very different, let's say, from one context to another.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah,
it is indeed. All right. Even more than an hour. I think this is not the last time we've talked, and we are very, very looking forward that we meet in person on Friday or on Saturday. This is awesome, and it's good. It's a nice coincidence that we will all meet there. Thank you very much for being here again. Sasha, hast du noch was zu sagen? Now we can switch to German.
It's okay.
Any last words. So when we were talking about movies, I checked it on my phone, and I know the
borderline.
Movie. Yeah, it's Borderline Grenzjäger.
Okay.
That's what it's called. And maybe you know. I'm not quite sure. I can't remember if it's really deep into tracking. But there's a movie with Sidney Poitier, and it's called in Germany. It's called Jede Sekunde zählt. That's what it's called.
Ah.
In English, it's Shoot to Kill. And Tom Berenger's also co-starring.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I can't remember. I know that there's a kidnapping, and they the kidnapper takes all the people into the mountains, and they follow them into the mountains. So
I'm taking note of the movie because I don't know this one, and it's a
Shoot to Kill. That's the name in English, of course. Jede Sekunde zählt. Yeah.
I never saw that movie. Never. And honestly, I'm more prepared on the German movies. In fact, I have the title of a German movie here on my phone. Yeah, but I have to say, I stay stick to the original title, which is not in proper German. I will show.
Yeah, what is it? Angst, Essen, Seele auf. Yes.
Obviously, it's not a proper German, but it's the title from Fassbinder, because I graduated in university with 2 degrees on him.
Okay,
the first one on one movie and the second one on a movie, which was based on the Bader-Meinhof, which is a topic that I studied a lot, and I took the degree on that back in the day.
Oh. Okay, next podcast will be on movies, so then we can dive into the movie and pop culture.
Okay. Any last words? So I'm very happy that I was able to join you guys, and it was a pleasure talking to you and hearing what you say. And I hope, we are going to see each other in 5 days, I guess.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for your time. Thank you very much for your content. And I hope just very much that Eric and me, we are able to join you for a course, then learn a little bit of your magic. That will be amazing.
I think we can set up something for the next year.
I'm sure. I think we will not join. We will organize something, and then we are good to go. So, and this would be a good plan.
Maybe
okay.
Also. That would be amazing.
Yes. So, thank you very much. So, an euch da draußen, danke fürs Zuhören. Ich hoffe, ihr seid bei einem Kurs auch dabei. Wir kommen dann nochmal auf euch zurück. Ansonsten, geht raus und tut Dinge. Und wir hören uns beim nächsten Mal. Ciao.
Ciao, ragazzi. Ciao, ragazzi.
40.
Du bist fertig.
Mhm.
Ich bin fertig mit den Nerven. Okay.